Today, I've had the opportunity to speak to my good friend, Steve Dave, who is the president of R.W. Murray Construction Company. He's also an adjunct professor here and an active member of the board with the Virginia Tech Myers Lawson School of Construction. I've had the opportunity to speak to him about some of the labor issues facing our industry. So let's get right into it. Well, thanks, Steve, for joining us today on the podcast. So today we're going to be talking about the people side of our business, and it's only fitting that both of us are here giving some feedback to the Myers Lawson School of Construction senior capstone presentation. But Steve, you've been in the construction industry for 30 plus years now,
yep.
Having been the president and the leader of your organization at R.W. Murray, and I'm sure you've seen it all, pretty much.
I don't know about that, but definitely seen a lot.
Yeah, and so I'm excited to get your take on this important issue. You know, I've just come back from a series of industry events and asked many industry leaders what they thought were some of the greatest challenges that the construction industry is facing. There seemed to have been sort of this reoccurring theme about labor and getting qualified candidates and retention as being a primary issue. I thought that maybe we can just begin just by tackling that topic. As someone who has led your organization, what is your overall take on that subject?
So it's interesting. I don't think that's a new problem for the construction industry. You know, we've had challenges in the labor component, whether it be out in the field or in the office for years. So that's something that we've constantly been working on and really trying to overcome. So over the past couple of years, it's definitely become more prevalent. As the entire labor market's become significantly tighter, our industry, you know, the construction industry is interesting. It's not one where people really gravitate to. It's kind of one people discover by accident. You know, if you're not involved in construction when you're younger, you see it as you drive by every day, but you really just don't think about, hey, that's a cool industry that I might want to be involved with. Again, unless you have a family member that's involved in it and you see it constantly. When the labor market's so tight as well, you know, we run into challenges getting people all across the board.
How is R.W. Murray sort of tackling this issue?
So, and this is my belief, and this is our organization's belief. We really established a strong culture at our organization. And I think that's key to attracting folks to come work for us, as well as keeping them working for us. So that's something that we focus on a regular basis. You know, we really try to make sure that people understand that it's a challenging industry to work in, and we work hard, but we also have fun. You know, it doesn't make sense not to, right, you know, not to have fun while you're working.
Yeah, I think
so. We really try to make sure that that's, you know, that's the case, and that's kind of key, I think. That's probably one of the most critical things in attracting good talent and keeping good talent, is really making sure you've got a great culture.
Many have commented that not having enough qualified candidates and specialized talent really starts before they enter the market, and it really starts at the college level. And so I'm just curious to maybe just get your take on your college experience. I understand that you're one of the first crop of building construction degrees here at Virginia Tech, and maybe you can talk to us a little bit about that.
I was definitely earlier. I wasn't the first, because it was around a little bit before I got done. But I mean, what an amazing experience. But just like I just described, construction wasn't my main focus when I came to Virginia Tech. I thought I wanted to be something else. I thought I wanted to be an architect, but I was in the School of Architecture. And after I realized that that really wasn't what I wanted to do, I kind of started fumbling around a little bit and discovered construction, the building construction program. So I got into it, and I remember talking to my friends about it and talking about, because it's an engineering-based program, and I didn't think I had an engineer's brain, but evidently I do. I got into it, and it was fascinating. It was, to me, you know, my friends were like, oh my gosh, you're going to be taking engineering calculus and all the engineering classes and, you know, all the structural classes and all that kind of fun stuff, and you sure? And I was like, I really like this. It seems really cool, so I really want to try it. And I got into it, started taking the classes, and I found them to be, I'm not going to say easy because nothing's easy, but I just got it. All the folks that were talking to me about how hard it was going to be, that really wasn't where I was. I was really enjoying what I was doing. So that's when I realized this is my home.
So what do you think higher education institution and the importance of their role in really feeding qualified candidates in the industry?
Oh, I think that's critical. I mean, I think it's extremely critical because, you know, you're developing foundational, forward-thinking foundational thoughts while you're here at the university. You know, they're doing all kinds of stuff that, you know, the industry really, because we're out building buildings and building bridges and highways and all that kind of fun stuff. We're experimenting as we go, but you make mistakes and it costs money. Here at the university, you can really start experimenting and see all the cool stuff going on and really start trying different things and really start building that foundational idea, thought process in your brain. Then you can come out into the industry and really start applying it. So it's a great resource and it's a great place to get that foundation that is needed once you get out in the industry.
And I know that you and I, the Hokie blood runs real deep in our veins. And if you can just share a little bit about how you've seen the building construction department grow over the years at Virginia Tech and some of the issues they're still facing in just trying to meet the demands of the industry.
I've been involved with the school on the advisory side for probably 20 plus years. And so I've seen it go from a small program that was in the College of Architecture to the School of Construction. So two very generous donors, Ross Myers and Johnny Lawson, they had this fantastic idea to create this School of Construction. And it combined the CEM, Construction Engineering Management Program from the College of Engineering and the Building Construction Program from the College of Architecture. Brought them into this school, and really from there, it just took off. They looked at the future and said, hey, this is going to be a great industry as things move forward. So they really started creating goals for the school and helping the school to create goals to bring in talent, bring in more students. And now we were in the presentation yesterday. I think their goal was to be at 1,200 students.
1,200 and they're currently at
like, and they're like 1,108.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's happened over about a 10-year period. And realistically, that's significantly happened over the past 5 years.
And it sounds like that they're still trying to keep up with the demand.
Oh, yeah.
They're having career fairs, it sounds like, and they don't have enough facility space to be able to accommodate all of the employers that want to come and recruit Virginia Tech students. Yeah. So I could only imagine if these things are happening here, what are the other colleges and universities and institutions that are offering construction management programs similar to ours is experiencing?
It's across the board. So I had the opportunity to attend an event in Dallas last year with ACCE, the accreditation arm of the schools of construction across the United States, and talking with industry group peers about what was going on at all the other different universities around the area, Arizona State, Texas A&M, Florida. We were all in the same boat. Yeah, we were all in the same boat. Everybody was like, holy cow, we've got to figure out how to get A, more exposure for our programs, and B, more people into the program so that we can provide that talent for the industry once they get out.
Now, piggybacking on what you said about getting more exposure to our program, and also just your experience, you know, you came into Virginia Tech as an architect major and discovered construction. Yeah. And really has a lot to do with the perception issue, I think, in construction. We have a brand issue, right? We're not what kids want to be when they grow up. And so what do you think about that? And any thoughts on solutions that we could do to better improve the image?
You know, it's interesting. First three letters of construction are CON. So we're battling from the beginning anyway. So we've got a lot of work to do.
What is that perception?
Most people think of construction as you're out hammering nails, you're digging ditches, and if you get involved in that, that's all you're ever going to be doing. What people don't understand and what we've got to relay is, yes, that's a piece of it, but if you want to travel the world, get into our industry. If you want to get involved in politics, get into our industry. If you want to work with the latest technologies on how to put things together, get in our industry. If you want to do stuff with your hands, get in our industry. The opportunities within the construction industry are limitless. And that's what people don't understand. And we don't do a great job of relaying that to the public. You know, when you drive by and you see a construction site, it's dirty. There's a lot of stuff going on and it's confusing. And you think about safety and all that kind of fun stuff. And do I want to be involved with that? And if you have children, do I want my children involved in that? And that's, you know, that's kind of the initial perception people have. And that's really what we have to get past and really start showing them that deeper into the industry, full of opportunities across the spectrum of what anybody wants to do.
The construction industry, it has to be probably the top five biggest industry, probably in the world, if not here in the States. And what can we do as industry to promote and advocate that this industry is much more. I mean, we have a shortage of skilled laborers to begin with, but we also have shortages of professionals and engineers and general construction professionals. What do you think we can do better?
Well, I think it's a matter of getting out and getting into the public and getting into our educational system earlier and educating parents and students about the exciting opportunities in the industry. I mean, I know our organization participated in a career education event at a middle school. And it was fascinating to see the kids come up and talk to us and really, you know, they know you're building buildings, but when you start talking to them about other cool stuff, they have no idea that you're using the latest technology to do that. No idea. So that starts piquing their interest, and then you get involved with it. And then the parents start hearing that because their kids are talking or what they learned. And this past summer was the first time I've ever gotten a call from a prospective student's parent asking me about the construction industry. And it was the young man's dad, and he's in the government contracting space. And he was like, I'm fascinated by this because of the job placement opportunities, the early opportunities for my son. When I started describing the career fair that Virginia Tech has and told him that his son would have an internship after his freshman year, he was floored. We need to get that information out there. And I always encourage the students here at Virginia Tech, go back home, talk to the guidance counselors at your high school. You're probably still a little bit connected to them. Go back and talk to them and tell them how exciting it is. Tell them what you're learning. Also, tell your friends, tell your neighbors and your friends, because that's how the word's going to get spread. It's going to be a grassroots effort, realistically, but I think those of us that have been in the industry for a while can do a better job at it, too.
The story that I heard yesterday, you were there at the industry board, was a story about an industry professional going to an underserved community and talking about STEM. And one of the perceptions there was that the E in STEM under engineering doesn't fit the construction profile. And we're like, absolutely, yeah. It absolutely does. Yeah. And so stories like that, I think, just magnifies or provides insight into, I think, what is going on with the perception. They don't consider construction as sort of this engineering or STEM type industry.
I love stories. I mean, everybody loves stories. Because you can, at some point in a story, you can find something in there that you can relate to. So that's why I love asking, especially folks that are just getting into the industry, why? Why did you pick the construction industry? And listening to their comments is fascinating. Some of them will say, well, my parents were in it, but that's just how I got introduced to it. But once I got into it, I started exploring all the different stuff that I could do and the technology that I could be involved with and the creating of communities that I could be involved with, the travel I could do. But to your point, the engineering piece, I mean, that's a major piece of our industry. I mean, you don't build facilities like this without engineering. Yeah. And as a construction member of the team that's doing this, you have to understand what's going on. You may not necessarily be the designer behind it, but you've got to understand the fundamentals associated with why they're putting this beam there or building this concrete column the way they're building it. And in order to have that, you've got to have that engineering base. You're absolutely right. It doesn't seem like it fits, but it absolutely does.
The STEM industry includes construction.
Totally.
So for the record, in case anyone is watching, we want to put that notice out there. Yeah. Another aspect, a little nuance to that idea of this supply issue, right, of workforce and labor has to do with diversity. You know, there is this sort of misconception that the construction industry lacks diversity, and that isn't completely true, is it?
Not anymore. Right. Not anymore. But it's definitely a challenge that we have. I mean, you know, I'll sit in rooms and there's really not much diversity in there. And I was talking with a gentleman I graduated with back when we were here, and he was a year behind me. And I asked him, I said, how many women, person of color, how many of those people were in our group? And I told him in mine, there were none. And in his, there were none. And then we knew that there was one that was the year ahead of us. One of the ladies that's part of our advisory board was ahead of us. Now, there's significantly more. It's still not enough. We've got significantly more women, significantly more people of color getting involved in the industry, which is what we need. Because, you know, the diverse opinions and experiences that we see across the board, we need that to keep things new and exciting and get new, fresh ideas in. I don't know your perspective. I didn't grow up in the culture that you grew up in, but I want to understand it. I want to hear about it. I want to see how it applies to our industry. I mean, that's the fascinating thing, is exploring it.
Now, do you think some of the diversity component of our industry is tied to perception issue as well?
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. Back to what we were talking about earlier. I mean, you think about construction and, you know, unfortunately, when it's portrayed in movies and TV and all that, you kind of get that good old boy feel.
Right.
And really, there's a piece of it that's that, but that's kind of what we're battling. We're battling to move past that because that's not what the industry is anymore.
What is the industry like?
Oh, it's exciting now. There's just so much new stuff going on. There's so many new people. It's a worldwide industry. Like I mentioned earlier, if you want to travel the world, construction is a place to be because we're all over the world. To be all over the world, you have to understand all the different cultures going on around. You have to be able to interact in all those cultures. So it's definitely a lot more exciting now. There's a lot more diverse talent, diverse ideas. We were talking yesterday with some folks that were creating some cool safety, augmented reality pieces that
the
were
technology
just,
component.
I mean, it was just like, man. And then the lady who was working on it, we were talking to afterwards. I mean, she's just, you know, her family wanted her to be a doctor and that wasn't what she wanted to do. So now she's into augmented reality and creating all these cool safety. I mean, it's just fascinating.
There's definitely the intersect between technology and construction, yeah. I think, and it would add more diverse talent pool into our industry for sure. So sticking on the topic of diversity, you know, one of the things that I've spoken to many of the industry professionals, as I've mentioned at these conferences, is that we could do a better job also hiring people from diverse backgrounds. It isn't always about diversity in race per se, but architects, engineering, an English major, accountants, what have you. What is your thought on that?
Oh, I'm 100% behind it. Because again, the more diverse thought you have, the more opportunity you have for growth. I don't know how you can ignore that. Think about it. We're touching literally anything and everything.
Yes.
I mean, we're building communities, we're building stadiums, we're building classrooms, schools, business offices, hospitals, everything. So we really need to understand and have an appreciation for all the talent that exists in those places. And in order to do that, you got to be touching that talent. My business partner, MBA, and a business degree undergrad. He, like I, accidentally got into construction after he got done at the University of Maryland, and he loves it. And he brings a fascinating perspective to our leadership team.
Right.
Because it's different. He didn't have the construction education. But the more fascinating thing is he's more fascinated with construction details than I am. And I'm a building construction major. He's a business major.
Right.
So it's across the board. We have a young lady who got a PR degree from Radford down the road here. And I mean, she's in our industry working on all of our social media platforms and all that kind of stuff. But she's interacting. I mean, she's visiting job sites because she needs to understand our piece of the industry. We're starting to mesh that piece to it, and she loves it.
Which is really ever more important to really recruit and to be an advocate of our industry. We need as many talent as we can possibly get because I think that we're starting to redirect focus on building back this infrastructure of this country. And it's an exciting industry that is far broader than this hammers and nails, although we need skilled laborers as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's another piece we haven't even touched on because we've got a lot of highly skilled labor that is older, that's retiring. You know, they've been doing this for years. And there's a gap.
Yes.
There's a significant gap that is really going to be a challenge as we move forward. So, yeah, the skilled labor side of the industry, that's another challenge. And that's probably the one we've been working on longer. But that's a huge challenge.
Because, yeah, there's a whole group of people that are retiring. And maybe a good segue into that is some of the solutions that I think I've heard from industry is the importance of mentorship from this leaders that have been part of this industry that have essentially grown up. What do you say to the importance of mentorship in transitioning this new crop of leaders as they come up?
It's huge. You can't state enough the importance of mentors. And that's across the board. Whether you're skilled labor and you're being mentored by a master electrician or a stonemason or any of those, the mentorship is critically important. And you can go over to what I am more involved with, which is the mentorship of college students, high school students, as they move into the office side of our industry.
Let's talk a little bit about that. I know that you play an important role. You have a passion for students. You're an adjunct professor here at Virginia Tech. You play a critical role in mentoring people as part of this capstone presentations in years past. Maybe you can put a little plug in on how important that is in bringing industry into the academic classroom.
The cool thing about the construction industry is the idea of how much sharing that we actually do. Our industry, and in fact, the faculty and staff here at Virginia Tech will talk about how valuable it is to have industry folks come in and share information with the students because they're getting real-time information for how things are really done. And you mentioned I'm an adjunct professor. I actually work a lot with the senior classes on their capstone projects. And I love being involved because I see them start to develop ideas. I learn something when I'm involved with them, which is fascinating for me. And I hope that they learn something from the information that I pass on. But from where I sit, you see them grow each time you have a contact with them. And then at the end, I would put pretty much every single group that I work with in front of a client day one. One of the students I was talking to last night was like, I would have never been able to do this presentation type had I not gone through this process. You know, we do that regularly out in the industry. Why not share that? Why not help them get a leg up so when they come out, you can, as a business owner, you can put them in front of a client and be comfortable putting them in front of a client. Whether they work for me or any, it doesn't matter. If you've got that kind of talent coming into the industry is going to be better. Back to the issue we talked about promoting the industry.
Well, Virginia Tech boasts a 100% placement, so you're obviously doing a great job and really appreciate your service and time and energy into putting into the students here at Virginia Tech. And so I think that speaks volume.
I appreciate that. I can't say it's me. I'm involved with a huge team, and the team here at Virginia Tech in the Myers-Lawson School of Construction is a phenomenal team. So they're really the ones that I just happen to come in every now and then and give them a little piece of info.
Have you had a mentor in your career?
Yeah, I did. Actually, the first gentleman I went to work for, gentleman Bill Fairchild was his name, he was definitely what I would call a mentor. The way he approached things, he helped me understand how to effectively deal with challenging situations. He definitely helped me understand that more often than not, you're not dealing with a life and death situation. You're dealing with a situation.
We're in the
evaluate
people
it.
Business.
Right, exactly. Evaluate it, figure out how to come up with solutions and move on. And you're dealing with people.
Yeah.
And how do you effectively deal with people? I can't thank him enough for the guidance that he gave me early on. It's funny, I still talk to him. Still talk to him on a regular basis about that kind of stuff. And it's always cool getting his perspective.
Now, I know that you've been with your company from the moment you graduated here from Virginia Tech over 30 plus years. I wonder maybe we can talk a little bit about retention.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be a major topic that's on the minds of many industry professionals. How do we go from someone who has been with an organization for the entirety of their career to a culture that currently exists where people are jumping from company to company? I'm sure there are two parts of the equation. There's some things that maybe you want to speak to that young professional or anyone that are jumping. And then there's also things that organizations can do better to incentivize people to want to stay with their organization.
It's interesting. I mean, I always looked at it, and I don't know why I looked at it this way, but I always looked at it from the perspective of, A, what opportunity do I have that's closest to me that I could take advantage of? And it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. So I look at those, and this is obviously an opinion, but I think people who are jumping from job to job are running a sprint. They're really trying to get it ahead as fast as possible. And realistically, when you look at, especially our industry, it's a long-term. I was talking to my daughter the other day, and she's like, yeah, in 38 years when I'm retired, she just graduated from college, 38 years, so that's a long time. So again, I looked at it as a marathon, and really, what opportunities could I make for myself in that umbrella?
Well, what can organizations do better to retain?
Back to the culture that I talked about at the beginning of our conversation. I think it's extremely critical to have a culture of inclusivity, idea generation, allowing people to make mistakes, grow, all that fun stuff. So you really have to have that type of organization in order to retain folks. Obviously, you have to have competitive salaries and benefits and all that kind of fun stuff. That's a piece of the puzzle. But if somebody's out there throwing around crazy ideas about salaries and all that kind of fun stuff, usually, not all the time, usually it's they're the quick hitters or just looking to bring somebody in. And then when that's done, they may or may not keep you. And again, my opinion, but that's kind of how things are. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think for the long-term piece, it's really about opportunity and how can somebody really look at that and plan it out over the course of their career. Like I said, I always looked at it as a career. I never looked at it as a job.
our industry has been somewhat slow. There's this reputation that we have in adopting technology and innovation. I wonder if you can speak a little bit about how do you feel about that statement, for one, and number two, how that actually can help in adding additional people to our industry, to add the excitement, to add people to want to come into the industry, and maybe even break down this perception barrier.
Yeah, I think technology is fascinating. And you're absolutely right. The industry is slow to adopt to it. And you know, you've got your heavy hitters that are typically early adopters in the innovative and in the technology piece. But then there are those that are a little bit more challenged from a financial perspective to dive into that. We talked yesterday with one of the folks here about this awesome augmented reality safety training piece, and we talked about the costs associated with it. And you know, even for some of the heavy hitters in the room, it was a big number.
Yeah.
So got to keep working with universities and the developers of that technology, and how do we get that to be able to be used on a more economical basis?
Right.
So how can we really touch those folks that are, you know, they started their company out of the back of their truck, and it's, you know, it's still a relatively small company, but how can we show them and give them the opportunity to get connected to that technology where they don't have to outlay a significant amount of it because they don't have it. That's just a fact, they don't have it. So, but I think it's the stuff that's going on.
Right.
We were talking yesterday and one of the gentlemen was like, yeah, we've got a system now to where a client can come in, put on a pair of augmented reality glasses and literally walk through their space before it's even done. And he used the example of a doctor walking into an operating room so he could actually do the maneuvers associated with whatever he was doing and see where things needed to be, where were they most convenient for him to have an effective surgery or procedure, whatever he was doing. So people are talking about the metaverse now. I mean, that's what that is. You're literally living in that. It's not the playtime shopping metaverse that you kind of hear about on TV, but that's exactly what it is. You're literally walking into space and seeing what it's like to be in there. So there's got to be people behind that. It doesn't just appear. So you're talking about technology, computer programming, code writing, all that kind of fun stuff.
How do we get organizations and industries to really start embracing some of these technologies? Because some of the cost issues that I think you're pointing out is that it's the economy of scale.
Yeah.
There's just not enough clients out there to offset some of those initial investments of technology. So if the idea is that if everyone participates and embraces this technology, those costs can actually be mitigated. So what can we do better as an industry?
I think we really need to share the ideas,
right,
partner with universities that have the resources to be able to get that information out there, create a traveling roadshow that basically takes it out so we can actually show somebody at their location, at their convenience, so they can start seeing the advantages associated with it. And then we have to get people to start really trying it. You know, when we get new technology in our office, it's hilarious. We go through the training, all that kind of fun stuff, and it's different than it used to be. You know, this is how we've done it, and this is new. And everybody's really slow to start getting into the new stuff. But once they start trying it, it's fascinating how, like, wow, this is actually a lot faster now.
Yeah.
So I can start seeing the efficiency and the effectiveness associated with the technology. So it's a matter of trying. And our industry is, I mean, we've built stuff forever,
right,
going back to the pyramids and before. So you think of it as, oh, well, that's the way we've always done it. So getting things moving in that forward thinking pattern can be a challenge, but we're starting to see significant advancements. And I mean, the industry has advanced over the past 5 years, light speed compared to what it did up till then.
What do you think the industry is headed over the next 10 years?
Well, I mean, you just look at Virginia Tech as an example. I mean, I think it's some stat like 50% of the buildings on campus have been built in the last 10 years.
Uh-huh.
So obviously it's a growing industry. It's exciting. We're creating communities, creating opportunities all around the world. So I think as things move forward, you know, you walk into any, whether it's a renovated area or a new area, that's the construction industry. That's a piece of our world.
Do you think automation will have a more important part in our industry?
Completely. You look now, and one of the buildings being built here, Hitt Hall, as a matter of fact, they literally fly it with drones at the end of every day. I think it's three times a day. Beginning of the day, middle of the day, and at the end of the day. Progress, what's going on, are there any issues that they see? So that kind of stuff is really starting to take off. starting to see a lot of
that. Is automation a good or a bad thing?
I think it's a great thing. Yeah, no, I think it's a great thing. It's much needed. Again, a lot of people can't look at a set of plans and understand what's going to be built. They really need to be involved in the environment. And that augmented reality piece of it really offers them the opportunity to get in, see, and feel before it's even built. So I think that's huge. I mean, imagine if you're buying a house and you could walk into your house before you even put one footing in the ground.
So we're kind of coming to the end of our conversation
here. Man,
this is fun. Yeah, but you know, again, we're talking about employee retention, the labor issues that we're currently facing, and what we know that we'll be facing in the future. You have any lasting comments, remarks, maybe some thoughts you can share?
You know, I've said it throughout today. It's an exciting industry. It's an awesome industry to be involved with. No matter what your interests are, you can find it in the construction industry. So no, I think it's just an exciting place to be. I'm excited. I'm jealous. I would love to be graduating from school now and getting into the industry.
Oh, wow.
Because of the opportunities that the opportunity and the technology and the diversity, the
exciting,
new
yeah.
thought. I mean, it's just such a different time than it was when I got into it, and even when you got into it. Yeah. I mean, it's cool.
Not dating ourselves.
No, exactly. Exactly. We're still young. Yeah. But it's cool. It's just fun to be involved with.
Well, Steve, I really appreciate you having this conversation of this important topic with us and being on our podcast. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's been a great time.
Thanks again, Steve, for a great conversation. We have some exciting content coming up in 2023. So don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss them. So until next time, that was The Build-Up.